Hello, everybody out there listening in the internet radio world. This is Blake Ruby again. My last show was back in September of last year. I can't believe it's been so many months. But I was spending my money in other ways. But now I've realized, and it was about the same time last year when I started my show back in March, that I deserve a little time for myself. You know, people buy things from themselves, and so I'm giving this gift to myself to share what I believe in, to continue sharing what I believe in to the world. It has been a few months indeed, and it's good to be back talking for an hour. I have a whole hour to talk, and I have lots of things to say. So I am the author of The Great Brain and The Golden Soul. I'm a very spiritual person. I've been doing the same thing I've been doing over those last few months, developing myself spiritually. And I continue to evolve. And I hope you are also. I was just telling Doug, who runs BBS Radio along with his brother, Don. Oh, by the way, it's rainy here in San Antonio. It's a beautiful afternoon. So I was telling Doug that I heard a show the other day about universal togetherness, unity, about the galaxies and about the internet and the connectivity, and it's similar to the brain, similar to galaxies, how we're all connected. And it's a new kind of medium. Internet radio is becoming more and more popular. It's getting bigger, right? What I like to think, anyway. And so, and bear with me, please. As before, I've got lots of great things to talk about. And really, 1 hour is not a lot of time. From what I remember before, it flies. But 1 hour goes by quickly, and I change my subjects a lot. I know there's a lot of people out there who are interested in what I have to say, and I have a lot to share. And really, to begin with, before I get into the spiritual matters, let me say this. And I gave a couple of speeches recently at Toastmaster Clubs, and I've got one coming up on Tuesday. And I'm learning to talk as a public speaker. And I might not be perfectly polished, but I've been a Toastmaster for over 11 years, and I am evolving as a public speaker, and I'm finding that some ways work better. Practicing sometimes isn't necessary when you want to be spontaneous, and people seem to appreciate spontaneity a lot better. And so, if anything, like I said in my speeches, the last two speeches on subjects which are spiritual, I forget now what actually, that doesn't matter. But if you take anything at all from what I'm going to talk about, if you remember anything, please remember this, that with all the war in our past history in the world, all the killing, and it's still going on now, all the violence on television, and I watch some of it sometimes, you know, in the movies, the video games, what the world needs now, the time is right. It has been, really, since the very beginning. But evolution, my friends, is a very slow process, and we have evolved much over the years. I'm sure you would agree, from the beginning of the earth. When you think back upon the days when cavemen existed and dinosaurs, they jump forward, fast forward to Moses when he walked the earth and the divine intervention that happened back then, and Jesus a couple thousand years ago, and then throughout the centuries, the industrial age, and then the technology, how it's improved. But still, war and fighting has been going on. Why? Because money, basically, right? Would you agree? People fight because they don't have, you know, a lot of money. Other people do. So it's the haves and versus the have-nots. But with all of this, my point is, when I talk about the spiritual meat, if you will, of spirituality, don't be afraid of what I say. And I'm going to say things that might be shocking to you. But remember that we live in a world that is evolving also. And this planet in and of itself is a spiritual being, Mother Gaia. I know some of you beautiful, intelligent people out there, especially the ones that have radio shows on VBS Radio, can relate to that. It is a living being in its own right, a cosmic being, traveling around the universe, around the center of the universe, around the center of the Milky Way galaxy. A planet that is evolving much like we do when we go to school, right? We begin in kindergarten, and we work our way up to graduate from college, and maybe even a master's degree, right? Or PhD or doctorate. So it is with the planets in our universe. They are ranked according to categories of spiritual evolution, if you will. Here on Earth, this planet is a category one, which means it's the lowest in the ladder of evolution. It's a very beautiful planet. However, with all the war and killing that have gone on in our past, it's really not hard to understand why. Because when you consider all the life that's out there, that daily, day by day, struggles to survive, they eat each other. So we are also not the highest on the food chain. You go into a forest up there in the northern United States, and you quickly realize, unless you have a gun or method to protect yourself, that you are not the highest on the food chain. There are grizzly bears, and wolves, and mountain lions, you know, that will kill you, basically. And so all of that is going on in this world. And then there are many, many ways to get killed by Mother Nature, to include lightning, earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes, tsunamis, volcanoes exploding, spewing molten lava. Oh, I didn't mention some of the reptiles and insects that can also ruin your day, if you know what I mean. So, yes, this is a planet that, when you understand that we existed before coming to Earth, we had a pre-existence. Yes, it's true. We were not in control of our birth, my friends. Were you in control of your birth? You know, we're very fortunate to be living in these golden years, because can you imagine if you were born back in the days of the pioneers, just as one example, what it was like? It was very hard to survive back then, you know, when the pioneers traveled west and they had to fight off Indians and they had to hunt for their food. We don't have to do that, right? We go to the store, we buy what we need. Well, these are the golden years. You know, and go back maybe a few hundred years before that. People were killing each other on a regular basis. Sexual immorality was rampant. Oh, what a subject that is. And so, here on Earth, we come here, we came here to be a part of this great experiment, if you will, because from what I've read in my research, people who have had access to higher planes and have learned revelations about who we are and why we're here. This, even though it's a planet of a lowest category of evolution, it's still a beautiful, beautiful planet with so much life. Think, my friends, and you might have heard me say this before from last year, there's over 1 million types of insects. Consider the tiny little bodies, some that have wings, beautiful eyes that can see, marvels of creation, incredible little metabolisms, capable of reproduction, over 1 million types of these insects. Consider the fish in the ocean, 26,000 types at least. All sizes and shapes, and each one with a special little mechanism for defense and capable of reproduction also. And the birds in the air, the beautiful types and colors and the sizes, and each one with a little voice, you know, capable of making beautiful little whistles or noises. 9,000 types of reptiles, 5,000 types of amphibians, 5,000 types of mammals. Consider all the flowers out there, hundreds of thousands of different varieties of flowers, the trees, the plants, fruits, and the vegetables, my friends. Now, if you're an atheist, I would say, after what I've just told you, if this happened all by accident here on Earth, logically, and most people that I think are out there have a logical mind, could it not also happen by accident on another planet that we know exists out there in the universe? But if there is a creator, a beautiful, omniscient, omnipotent creator who created this life here on Earth, all that beautiful life, would not that creator have the power and the knowledge to create the same life or maybe different life elsewhere in the universe? So, my friends, any way you look at it, logically, there is life out there. But we don't have that smoking gun piece of evidence, you know, a piece of metal from the spacecraft that landed on the White House's front lawn. No, we don't have that. To tell you the truth, you've seen the shows on television. In the history of the world, there's been much evidence of extraterrestrial intervention in our past, from the pyramids in Egypt to the Inca ruins, the Inca civilization, the Mayans on Easter Island, and even today, people see flying saucers. I saw this one guy being interviewed. He had seen a flying saucer, and he said, I don't know what it was. I saw it with my own two eyes, but I'll tell you this, the technology that I saw was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years in advance of our own technology. And that impressed me. I got a very cool, I'm going in the kitchen now because I've got some stuff on the stove here.
I bought these really cool tapes, DVDs, actually, of the Unexplained Mysteries. And it was a set of like about four or five unsolved mysteries. That's it. And I'm going to turn this off. My potatoes. I'm cooking up some potatoes. By the way, I just want to talk about the truth in my radio show. I'm not going to talk about anything negative. I don't want to. I might kind of stray off the path, so to speak. But I'll try not to. Only positive. Anyway, there have been so many encounters from people, by people, with flying saucers, extraterrestrials, Roswell, of course. There's an Air Force base in England that had a famous UFO encounter. I forget the name of it. Mildenhall, Lake and Heath, or one of those. And they're out there, my friends. In fact, I think they monitor internet radio. Book, one of my favorite books that talks about contact with an extraterrestrial species is The Contact Has Begun. The author is Philip Kraft. One of my favorite books, I bought it back in the 90s. The Contact Has Begun. And I've talked about this before in other radio shows in the past. These extraterrestrials, and they're out there. They have been traveling the universe for millions and millions of years. And that's not hard to understand, my friends, because consider the Big Bang. In the beginning, the universe began forming itself from the center, and the first solar system was formed. And then another solar system, in accordance with the Creator's plan, you know, of growth and expansion. Darkness and space was created, manufactured. It's a manufactured reality. It's not real, per se. Light is what's real. When we came from heaven, when we came from that spirit world, the world of light, we as spiritual beings, and we have spirits in our bodies, right? Spirits and souls. That's why my book is called The Gray Brain and the Golden Soul, because in our physical bodies, we have our brain, and in our spirits, we have our soul, which is like the brain of the spirit. So when the universe began forming itself, one solar system after another, one galaxy after another, and look where we are right now in the Milky Way galaxy, approximately 15 billion light years from the center. Okay, now, logically, right? Now, I'm a logical person, and please, I think you are too. You can't deny logic, my friends. Some logic is irrefutable. What I told you about life on Earth and it happened by accident, could happen by accident elsewhere, that is irrefutable logic. Even an atheist couldn't deny that. I don't know how you could. Anyway, so we are in a spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy, and it's kind of arrogant, if you will, to think that we are the only life in the universe. But it's understandable. I explain it this way, my friend. Just a mere 500 years ago, the world, people like you and me, right? People like you and me, although maybe not as intelligent because there wasn't all that technology back then. They believed that the world was flat. Yeah. And then perhaps around that time also, they believed that the Earth was at the center of the solar system, the center of the universe. And then Copernicus said, no, the Earth revolves around the sun, and the sun revolves around the universe, around the center of the universe, you know, the center of the galaxy, which revolves around the center of the universe. So it's logical to believe that because life was formed from the beginning of the Big Bang in accordance with the Creator's plan, that life, just like our life here on Earth began, it began at that time. And so there are species that existed from the very beginning who have evolved to where they can travel now through space at a very high rate of speed, capable of going interdimensional and the speed of light. And Einstein was right when he said there's nothing faster than the speed of light. However, the universe is created with dark energy and dark matter and all the planetary bodies. And so, with the knowledge and the technology, it's easy for our extraterrestrial friends to travel throughout the universe in a very quick fashion. Do you know what I mean? And so these birds who have been traveling space for millions of years are supposedly, according to the book, the dominant species in the universe. And they are the typical alien types that we've seen in movies, beautifully intelligent beings, you know, just incredible. I would love to contact one, to talk with one. You know, they're just so intelligent. They'd be like, you know, yesterday I went to a elementary school here in San Antonio, in Fort Sam Houston. I work on Fort Sam Houston. I worked for the Army. I did 22 years. I'm a veteran. I retired as a sergeant first class, a senior NCO. And then I retired in 2004, and I continued working for the Army as a contractor for a little over 6 years. And then in 2010, on the 2nd of August, I became a Department of the Army civilian. And I'm so proud to be a member of a team such as the Army. They are incredible people. I've never met such great leaders in my life as I have with Army people. Men and women, officers especially, among the enlisted soldiers, the drill sergeants and the MPs are just the most fine, intelligent, strong, brave people I've ever known. Seriously. And so I have the honor and privilege of continuing to work for them there on Fort Sam Houston. So I went to the elementary school in a program called Reading Across America. And I read to a class of first graders yesterday. And they gave me a book, and the book was called The Quiet Cricket. You know, very simple reading, right? And so I was looking at them. They sat down on a rug, and I stood in front of them. The teacher's over on the side. And I introduced myself, talked a little bit about myself. And then I said, well, would you like me to sing the a song? I can sing a little song. And they're all day, all perked up. Oh, yeah, sing us a song. I mean, seriously, their faces lit up and their demeanor changed. It. So what does that tell us? We got to sing more, right? Anyway, so it was a very nice time looking at all those little faces and little human beings and their process of growing up, all very intelligent. There was one girl that wouldn't look at me. She was looking just right by my, close to where I was, over on the side. And she was looking kind of straight ahead, and I was looking at her, and she seemed to be alone in her own little world. And I looked at her while I was reading. Afterwards, I felt like she knew I was looking at her, and she appreciated that. But anyway, so what a beautiful day. Even though it's raining here in San Antonio, I'm looking out in my backyard. We've got two fruit trees. We've got a peach tree and we've got a plum tree. And the peach tree is always sprouted with leaves. And the plum tree is a little bit behind, but it's got some flowers. And the Peachtree gave us a whole crop of peaches last year. Spring has sprung, yes, my friends, here in San Antonio. It happened, I'll tell you the exact day it happened, because it had been cold for quite a while. It was down into the 30s at nights and in the mornings. And, oh, my God. Colder than usual. I've been living here since 2010. And we had more cold days, I think, this year than any other year I've been living here. But spring sprung on the 14th, Valentine's Day. I was sitting outside work, enjoying the sunshine. It must have been about 70-some degrees. I was just taking a break, sitting out there outside my building. And it was warm for like the first time in a long time. And the big boss came out, came through the doors, came barging out, looked around, looked at me, and said, "What is this?" And I hadn't really been giving it much thought, but I said, "Sir, I think spring has sprung," or something like that. And without hesitation, he said, "I think you're right." And then other people talked about it. And I noticed the peach tree had just began to bud. And I saw a ladybug in my patio here where I'm at right now. Another evidence that indeed spring has sprung here in San Antonio. I know it's not the same elsewhere, especially up north. But usually around this time, you know, mid-February, it starts getting warm again. And we had snow one time. I'll tell you what day that was. That was the 7th of December. And that was something else. It was a cold day. I'd just come out of the building, off from work, and it must have been in the 30s, and the snow was just pouring down, big, thick snowflakes, and it was awesome. And I drove home. I had to be careful driving home because it was accumulating on the roads, you know, and people were going slower than usual, which was good. Anyway, my friends, getting back to the Verdants, I think, you know, their goal was to have a summit with the people of Earth back around 2010. And in per the book, the contact was begun by Philip Kraft, who was some people might say, well, you know, people, they make these things up just to get money. But this guy who wrote the book served on the L.A. Times Metro desk for 25 years. He won a Pulitzer Prize for the L.A. riot. And I read his book, and I've read it many times afterwards, and this man is a gifted writer, and he is so funny to read. The Contact Has Begun. You should read it. He's such an intelligent writer. And I actually communicated with him via email when I was in my last duty assignment in the Army in Caracas, Venezuela, from 2001 to 2004. And he was a very cordial, pleasant kind of fellow, you know, in the couple, three emails that we exchanged. But I had questions to ask him, and he went on Art Bell. Remember Art Bell, that nighttime show? And, I like reading to you. I remember reading in my last radio shows. I like reading a little bit, like I read yesterday to those first graders, and I read the scriptures in church. So this is what Art Bell said. Let me find it here. He said, "There was something about Philip Kraft that rang true. I guess that's all I can say. Over several hours, the story held up, you know, him being abducted, taken aboard the spaceship, which apparently now is parked behind the moon. It's called the Goodwill. It's about a mile in diameter. It's one of those huge motherships." And so he continues, "And you came away with the feeling, well, maybe. How could a guy, if the story is held up for several hours, and he rang true, and then you say, maybe? Art Bell must have been may God bless his soul, I think he passed away, but he must have been a hard man to convince. My friends, it's more than just maybe. I've built a case based on logic for you. They're out there, and they're waiting for us. They know what kind of mentality we have. They see the same movies that we make. Think the Black Panther, for example. I saw that the other weekend. What a bunch of fantasy, huh? Fantasy, 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 reality, reality. Two different things, you know. When violence happens in our everyday lives, it's so much, so much different. But we go and see these movies, and I went and saw it. You know, I was thinking, well, maybe, just maybe, this one will be different. This could be like, oh, something new, and set a new trend, a new precedent. But other than, you know, the good acting and the very great special effects and the entertaining, just the costumes and this and that, still that violence was so disconcerting, really, for me. And it continues to be. I turn the TV on, my friends, and I surf through the channels. I'll tell you the truth. About 90% of what's out there is violent. Why is that? Why does it have to be that way? If we're working towards peace, to live in peace and harmony, which you should be, because there's really no good reason for killing each other. I know that we drive our cars in the freeways, and we kill each other that way, but, and that too should be changed. You know, I was thinking, let me stop here and just talk a little bit about that. We get out on the freeway. I've been driving now since 1972, so well over 40 years. And my friends, I can't understand really why we put our lives in the line to get from A to B. There is so much danger out there, and you know it. Don't try to skirt that issue. You know there's danger, serious danger out there. And yet we accept that. We kind of challenge it. And thousands and thousands of people die each year. There's got to be a better way, my friend. You know, transportation should be safe for you and your family, for your children, and especially women. Women who are co-creators with God. But that's another subject. So, in my show, you know, I like to talk about truth and the spirit and the soul. It reminds me, I heard a scripture reading the other day, and I know there's a lot of Christians that tune into BBS radio. I heard, as I mentioned, this one guy talking. I've heard a woman talking also about the Bible, about God and Jesus. And I have watched this movie called The Gospel of John. How many out there have seen The Gospel of John? I highly recommend it, especially if you're a Christian. Watch The Gospel of John. I've seen it over 100 times. Yes, because why? I know that something great happened way back then. And to study the life of Jesus, who I believe, and I'll explain this later, and I explained it before, was actually an extraterrestrial. Jesus that died on the cross, that is, came from another planet. That type of divine intervention was coordinated by extraterrestrial civilization who has had the responsibility of looking after Earth and has been monitoring our civilization for thousands of years. And they intervened also with Moses back then, but Jesus, when he was on his way to Samaria, some of you may know this, and he stopped at a well, and there was a Samaritan woman drawing water from a well, the well. And so he talked with her, and, you know, some of you may know what happened, but towards the end he said, God is spirit, and we need to worship God in spirit and truth. That's what I'm doing, my friends. If Jesus said to do it, that's what I'm doing. I'm not talking about religion, a money-making business, although I respect religion for the fact that they are believers. It's better to be a believer than a non-believer, my friends. And I don't want to shake up your faith. I think traditions are being broken down, walls are being broken as far as what is truth. And there can only be one truth, right? With so many religions in this world, what makes you think that you have a stronger conviction about what you believe than, say, someone from another religion, a Muslim, or, you know, I'm talking specifically about Christians, or a Buddhist? You're going to say, what I believe in is true, and what you believe in is not true. And they'll say the same thing. So eventually, you're going to, like they've done before in the past, they're going to fight. You're going to fight because you don't see eye to eye. Why? Because you're fighting over the truth. There can only be one truth. When you say, my truth is the truth, and they say their truth is the truth, it's not a question of who's stronger or who's going to win the fight. It's a question about what's true. So what's really true, my friends, is that you have a spirit in your body. Spirituality is what we're here on earth to do, develop ourselves spiritually. Religion is a stepping stone to achieve what you want to achieve, or what you should be achieving in spiritual matters. So when you pass away from this existence here on earth, and you graduate, hopefully, to a higher existence, and you make it back to that spirit world, that beautiful land of light, the sun. Yes, you heard me say the sun. The sun is the spirit world. It's a world of light. It's a fire. Yes, it's a nuclear fire. It's a very special fire. It's the fire of God. Yes, and the spirit is made of light. Light energy. We are spirits in the material world, our spirits. In the material world, our spirits. In the material world. You heard that song by the Police, right? Maybe some of you have. That's what we are. When we dream at night, you know what dreams? Have you had dreams? How many people out there, raise your hand if you've had a dream in your lifetime? You know what a dream is, my friends? It is the eyes of the spirit in the spirit land, in the spirit realm. What you're looking, what you see is the spirit eye. You have spirit eyes also inside your regular eyes. And when you close your eyes, your physical eyes at night, you can see with your spiritual eyes. And you go to these dimensions. You can fly. You can access the future. All these different scenarios. I know I've had hundreds and hundreds of dreams, and you have too, I'm sure. So what you see, what you remember in your dreams are what your spirit eye is seeing. So, yeah, and the soul is the brain. So when you, the day comes when, like it's happening all the time here on earth, my friends, at a hospice maybe, or, you know, God willing, I don't know about you, but I want to die of natural causes. I want to live to be a ripe old age, because the more you live here on earth, the more you're able to develop spiritually. Each day is a gift. Now, how many people out there believe like me that every day is a God-given miracle? That's right, my friend. You have no control over, you had no control over your birth. You were born. God could end all this in a second, less than a second, like God did. Well, let me put it this way. The asteroids that wiped out the dinosaurs, that could happen. The sun could extinguish itself. It happens, though, by clockwork. I mean, the sun, the beautiful sun, sets and rises every day. Actually, we're rotating right on our axis. But it does so like clockwork without fail. It's like, you know, our technology, what do we create? We can create watches and clocks and incredible mechanisms that function perfectly, but not quite perfectly, right? Sooner or later, something will go wrong. They'll break down. But with God, the Creator, everything is perfect. This world has been rotating on its axis and revolving around the sun. All this revolution, the revolution around the galaxy and around the universe is happening perfectly. And we had no control over that. Now, you might have control. We have control over some things in our life. But we know we're going to die, right? One day. It could be tomorrow. It could be 50 years down the road. But when we do die, and as I mentioned, people are dying in a hospice, and what an area for study that is. My mother died in a hospice. And I read a couple of books about these people that die in hospices, some of the revelations they have. And a very interesting thing, I learned a very interesting thing, that the people that do die in hospices, the weeks out from their death, like 6 weeks, 5 weeks, 4 weeks, you know, certain things happen on a regular basis for everybody, and they're all the same. For example, like 4 weeks out, they'll be visited by angels or deceased relatives. And then maybe 2 weeks out, they'll start seeing people in the rooms, talking to people in the rooms, and so on, until like the day before they die. And then maybe, you know, they'll say something really profound just before they die. And it's the same for everybody, because we're human beings. There's nothing really too different from about it, you know? We're very similar. And so, yes, the spirit pops out, can pop out, like I've, in my book, and I should have mentioned this before, but, you know, I write things down for my show, and I write things down when I give speeches, but one thing I don't like to do is try to remember something that I have to remember. So I'll go back and forth. But I do write things down. I write a lot of things down. For example, and I deviate, but that's okay. You know, focus doesn't mean really too much for me. What is more important to me is spontaneity. Even like a little voice can distract one, you know. The same with public speaking. For example, what I'm just talking about now, there's a bird that's just started singing over in the distance, and it's kind of my mind got distracted from that, from what I was talking about. So we shouldn't blame ourselves too much for losing our way when we're talking. You know? But the main thing is, if you can't remember what you were talking about, talk about something else, and then you remember, you'll get back on track. And so, oh, I got a little bit of time left. Time is flying. Mother God, let me say something to you about logic again. Some people, Christians mainly, believe that there is a Father God, right? The Spirit Father. Now, my friends, logically, how can there be a Father if there is no Mother? Is that logical? The Father, the word Father denotes or implies that there has to be a Mother. Is that logical or not? And how could a father have children without a mother? So, if you believe in a Father God, logically, you have to believe in a Mother God. Yes, I'm breaking down the wall tradition. I am a truth seeker. I don't care what other people say. I only want to hear the truth. And I know that everybody is intelligent and possesses kind of like a super intelligence. And when I'm lying awake at night, maybe I sleep pretty well during the night. But I do wake up occasionally, and I'm living with the cat. Sometimes I think that has to do with it. My nose gets a little stuffed, but it doesn't happen all the time, and I don't get sick a lot. And I think I'm doing okay. I'm surviving. Not bad for someone who's going on 64 this year. But that's the truth, my friends. I don't want to hide anything anymore. Maybe it's just the process of getting old, you know? The truth. What is the truth? So, and I was talking about the sun, the spirit world, being heaven. That we came from a pre-existence, from a world of light. That we were born. Remember, I was talking about that. I get sidetracked a lot. But, you know, what I talk about is amazing knowledge that I've learned from other people. I've read many books from other people, people that have had near-death experiences. From my first book I read on that subject in 1992, Embraced by the Light. How many out there have heard of Embraced by the Light, Betty Eady? The most profound and complete near-death experience ever. It was a New York Times bestseller, my friends. And I read book after book after book after that book. And then I started reading about extraterrestrials and abductions. And, you know, they always had some very, very interesting information in there about God, the Creator, and the universe and the planet. Oh, by the way, here's some shout outs. I want to give a shout out to my son, Bryce, who's living in LA. He's a good young man. He's 23, he'll be 24 in May. I love him. We visited him last year in November, my friend. We took a train to L.A., an Amtrak. It was awesome. We went across that desert, you know, from San Antonio to El Paso, through New Mexico, through Arizona, into California. We spent a couple of nights with him there. He's working in a juice bar in Burbank. He wants to become a famous actor. Keep him in your prayers, please, my friends. By the way, may God bless you all. May God bless everyone. Christmas has come and gone, hasn't it, since my last radio show back in September? Another shout-out to my sister Eleanor in Seattle. I love her very much. A shout-out to Stancia. She works at the building I work with, the Army's Installation Management Command. A shout-out to the Verdants out there on their mothership, the Goodwill, who might be listening to my radio show. I think they listen to a lot of internet radio, actually. And they watch some television, too. I read about that in the book, Contact Has Begun. And, you know, we kind of screwed things up talking about the contact that was supposed to happen. We were on our way. They do what they do. They travel throughout the universe. They come upon these civilizations that are developing, evolving, right? Making their first steps into outer space, you know. They monitor them, and they determine whether or not they're suitable to travel throughout space. Because they don't want a warlike species making space a place of war and destruction, right? Not like Star Wars, which is a bunch of fantasy baloney, if you ask me. I didn't always think that, but now as I'm getting older, I think, you know, these fantasy violence movies that Hollywood is producing, it's crazy, you know? And then we get these active shooter incidents that happen. Is it really a surprise, my friends, that after all the movies that we watch, that this violence happens? The perpetrators of this violence, they see these movies and they think it's okay to do that because everyone seems to like it. No. We're evolving. Come on. Hurry up. Get with it. What's wrong with you? Maybe you're a young soul, you know? Or are you an intermediate soul? Maybe an advanced soul. Either way, you're a soul. So start acting like a soul and develop yourself spiritually. That's what you're here for, to develop yourself spiritually. Everything else is secondary. So anyway, a shout-out to the Verdants. We were going to have that contact. We would have been Star Travelers. Do you really want to be like Star Trek and boldly go where no man has gone before? To go not only to the next neighboring solar system, my friend, you know, 4 light years away, Alpha Centauri, but other galaxies. We could do that. They do it. They were willing to share their technology. But you know what happened? 9/11 happened. We are already borderline, a borderline species, because they saw the war that we had in our history, all the fighting and killing, you know, going on throughout the history of the world. But they also saw the good in people. People like me, hey. But also people like musicians and artists, the lovers, not the fighters. They saw that really a majority of the people are peaceful, decent people. And only a small minority of the people living here on Earth are the dictators and the bullies and the tyrants. The ones that, the troublemakers that start all the trouble, you know? So they were going through that process of abductions and getting their ambassadors, that's what they called them, spun up on everything that they need to do to eventually get the information out to the media, you know, because people panic, you know. Remember the War of the Worlds? People panic. And that was a big obstacle. But so we were on our way to having a summit, a meeting of our two species, you know, where we could be finally inducted into the Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets, 26,000 different types of species. 26,000 different types of species, my friend. Ladies and gentlemen, can you imagine that? Now, I didn't mean to totally rag on Star Wars, you know what I mean. But besides all the killing and fantasy violence that goes on in those movies, the shooting at each other, stupid, really, when you consider it, because if they had the technology, if they were in possession of technology many, many hundreds of years in advance of their own, they wouldn't have these laser beam kind of shots that fire at each other and miss. No, they would lock on. They would have the capability to lock on immediately and destroy whatever they were shooting at. So that right there tells me that, you know, it's just too much nonsense, really. But one good thing about Star Wars is that apparently, from what I heard, they depicted pretty well what some extraterrestrial species look like in the movies. Right? Remember that? So that's cool. And they're out there too, my friend. Imagine 26,000 different species in the Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets. I only have a few minutes left. I heard a clicking in the background. So 1 hour has gone by quickly, and there's so much to talk about. I could talk for 5 hours. Hey, you know, Nancy Pelosi and Rand Paul talked how many hours? 8, 9 hours respectively recently, you know, in Congress. When they're trying to pass the budget. Hopefully they pass the budget. Come on, Congress. Come on, get together. We the people, the welfare of us should be more important than the competition between Democrats and Republicans, right? Come on. Let's do the right thing. Come on. Let's do the right thing for the people. Let's do the right thing for us, for the human beings in the United States and around the world. We are human beings, right? Anyway, so the creator of the universe, the supreme creator who made everything, knows what you're thinking. God is the most intelligent, beautiful being. The creator is magical, can create anything, knows everything, can do anything. Let me ask God. God, creator, spirit, mother, and father in heaven, but the original creator of the universe, who created the Big Bang, is out there also. I call him for the great original creative spirit, who created all of this from the very beginning, and created all the co-creator gods of solar systems and galaxies. Original creator, I love you. You're so awesome, magnificent. Please, help our planet. Help us to evolve, to get to the point where there is no war, peace, not war. Help us to evolve. We are all souls on a soul journey, and we need your help. Please, guide us, protect us, help us. We love you. I love you all out there. I'll talk with you soon. The next show is in 2 weeks. May God bless you. May God protect you. May God bless us, everyone, all of God's children. Goodbye.